New.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1056, and it's the Relevant Podcast here in Orlando. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, is Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, downtown, Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
And once again, Jamie and Derek are on the road, so joining us is one of our favorite friends of the podcast.
Alternates.
Yeah, alternates. Marty from Social Club Misfits. Hey, man.
Yo, what's that?
All right.
I'm still thinking about how I ended the last episode saying Martin. That's not even my real Marty. I don't know why I even said that.
Is Martin not your real name?
It is my real name, but I actually, it's a whole thing. I think Cam just wants to move on.
No. I actually need to know this.
My real name is really, like, my house, my name is Lorenzo.
Really?
Because there's 14 Mart. Yeah, it's very Sicilian, Italian name. It's really Lorenzo. Then I couldn't have been Martin because my dad and my grandfather. Then I had to go for Marty, and it's just been hell for me ever since.
So are you like a junior or a third? Are you like...
I'm like the fifth, man.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
Like the fifth down. Was there even a name? And then my father-in-law, guess what his name is? Martin. Just
no,
surrounded by Martins over here. Yeah. Jeez, a weeds, man.
That's crazy. What
I
do you
know, so
what,
it's Lorenzo.
Do you have a son?
I don't have a son that I know of. But yeah, I guess I'll name him Martin.
It's a good Christian artist answer.
I might have one in Thailand. I don't know. We'll see what happens soon.
What if you just legally named him Marty and just cut out the middleman?
Could you do that?
Well, I think
could you name your kid like a surname?
Yeah, why not? Like I said, just cut out the middleman. Like when a kid's like, hey, what's your, your kid's going to be born. And they're like, yeah, you know, his name's going to be, Jackson, but we're just going to call him JJ. It's like, why don't you just name him JJ? Like, well, let's just cut right to the chase here, you know?
Yeah, I like that. Give him the nickname before anybody else does.
Exactly. I think after Elon Musk named his kid whatever that name is, I think it's fair game to like name your kid whatever you want them.
He named his kid Pi, like 3.14.
They changed the name.
Did you see this? Grimes, a question mark.
Yeah. Or something like that.
But they pronounce
his name now.
They pronounce it Y.
Yeah, Y.
W-H-Y, but they pronounce it like the letter Y, but it's the question mark is the symbol. Y.
They really just want to mess up this kid's life from the beginning. You know what's funny? It would be funny if they reverted to like an actual, like just a classic name. Like, yeah.
Like John.
It's Jerry. Yeah, John. It's Jerry. You know, like some like Sylvester. What? Like,
Frank.
Yeah, we big fan of Rocky's.
I would love it if they said Jerry.
We have
3.1456666, and this is Frank Musk. Hi, how are you doing? And it's just
Frank.
And it's just like there's just some guy with a mustache that looks like a guy named Frank, you know, just goes bowling and he's the other Musk child.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talked to one of my heroes of the faith, T.D. Jakes, is coming up. You don't want to miss that. At the end of the show, where we normally have a game, we have a little listener interactive segment. As you know, if you listen to the last episode, 2 days ago was a big day in the Relevant podcast world. It was Jesse's 40th birthday. So to celebrate, we have a segment that is focused on Jesse. You guys sent in questions for Jesse, and we are going to lob those to him. It's a Ask Jesse Anything segment at the end of the show. You do not want to miss that. But stay tuned. Up next, right now, it's Slices. Listen to Harriet. The song is Because I Love You. That's, well, it's BC, I love you. If you're typing it in, I'm just giving you a spelling so you type correctly. BC, I love you.
Not sure what's next after college? Ready to step out of your comfort zone and into something meaningful? Check out the Global Ambassador Program from ELIC. You'll spend 9 months, September to May, on a team of passionate people just like you in Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan. You'll grow through mentorship, take language classes, immerse yourself in a new culture, and teach English to the local community, all while building real-life skills and making a real impact. Sound good? Head to elic.org/relevant to learn more. Again, that's elic.org/relevant.
Okay, it's time for
Slices.
All right, what do you have, Jesse?
All right, I found this story pretty interesting. And I was traveling. As you guys know, I was at a hotel when we recorded last week, if my audio quality wasn't great. But all the way back, I was in the airport and I saw two different people, and they were reasonably young people.
And you only saw two people at the airport? That's crazy.
Shocking. No, but I saw two different people that had flip phones that they were using, like old Motorola flip phones. And I thought that was really interesting, and I thought it was kind of cool that, you know, because they didn't look like Luddites, you know what I mean? Like these people look like reasonably, you know, well put together people. And, you know, I saw a study that said around the world, they're seeing a global increase in sales since 2022 in old school, like Motorola flip phones. They're actually expecting in North, especially a lot overseas, but they're expecting next year to have a 5% increase in sales in what they call light phones. In other words, a dumb phone, like a phone that just does old school text. You can play Snake and you can make calls. There's no, you know, internet connectivity. They're expecting a 5% increase in sales. And they found that the big consumer market for these is younger consumers who are actually looking for ways to be less connected. I think it's an incredible trend. I am all about bringing back the old razor and not having to worry about checking your email and social media, you know, not having that in your back pocket. Now, look, I think it'd be pretty difficult to hand in the iPhone, but I do think it's an interesting trend.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it before. I've seen it in jail. And this is a random thing to say, but I've seen they have them in jail and they even go on like Instagram. They have those flip phones still go on Instagram and everything.
Do they really?
They have every they go on everything still. So in jail, they sneak them. They probably swallow them, and then you know, they call it keistering. But they still have that. Yeah, they still have. Well, Jason's making a tally to edit that part, but they still have those flip phones, and they go on Instagram, Twitter, everything, fully functional. But it's like this, like small pixelated screen. You can look it up right now. Yeah.
Yeah, the quality on that image is not going to be good.
It's terrible. No, it's not. It's like, yeah, it's not good at all.
So, Jesse, can I bring you into a conversation Emily and I had this morning?
Please.
About that exact story that you read. You got that from CNBC.com.
I did.
You saw that? You got it from CNBC.com.
I did.
So you base that entirely on the headline. Because if you actually read it, the data is that 80%, I don't have it in front of me. I'm going to tell you based on memory.
Okay.
80% of the global of the sales of these dumb phones are in Africa, the Middle East, and like, you know, third world countries. 80%. And there is no data that says that there's an increase in the U.S. market and Gen Z. There is one quote in there from one guy after a leading question by the journalist. In the one quote, the guy says, well, in the next 5 years, maybe there might be a 5% increase in the U.S. market.
Cameron,
said the word maybe.
Listen, if I've learned anything about how to consume information in the age of the internet from particularly baby boomers, is you find one real world anecdote that creates a bias in your mind. So anyway,
correct.
I saw people at the airport using them. I read a headline that confirmed my bias.
Start there.
I'm not sure. I think I saw someone vote fraudulently, and I'm just going to draw my own conclusions.
No, this is true. Like, hey, I'm being for real. I almost sent that article to Emily this morning as like, hey, this is an awesome trend. Gen Z, mental health, dumb phones. let's kick the tires on this. And when we looked at it, they built this entire article around this headline and this idea. But the actual data is 80% of those dumb phones are built, are sold in poorer countries because they can't afford smartphones. And there is no data saying there's an increase in sales in first world countries. But there's a one quote from one person saying maybe in the next 5 years, there might be a 5% increase of sales.
Once again, fact checker.
And that quote, but you know who said that quote? I just looked it up. You know who said that quote was Ben Shapiro. So it all comes back.
So this is as good. As
just kind of goes in full circle.
Yeah. Anyway. Listen. I don't
full
need
circle moment there.
I don't need some fact checker telling me my truth. I saw what I saw. I saw what I saw, and I interpreted a headline. Literally.
Which airport were you at, by the way, that you saw that?
Dallas.
He was in Dallas. I was going to say he was in the Middle East, and 80% of the phones are sold.
He was in Qatar, and they had
a lot of sorry, I didn't mean to burst your bubble, buddy. I didn't mean to do that publicly, but like I'm just
I said,
like,
it doesn't matter because I know what I saw, and I know how I interpreted the headline that I perused moments before we started recording. So
you weren't there. Yeah, you weren't there.
And I shared it on Facebook to all my parents' friends. So
anyway, all right, Emily, what do you have?
Okay, you know the movie Superstar with Molly Shannon and she plays a character, Mary Catherine Gallagher, who like when she gets stressed, she sticks her hands under her armpits and then sniffs them. Remember that movie?
She goes like this.
Yeah, and like we all made fun of her because like what a weird quirky trait to stick your hands in your armpits and smell them. Turns out she might have been onto something. A new study has found that smelling other people's stinky armpits could help reduce your social anxiety.
No, is this an actual study or is this about the other country? Okay.
Now, did you actually see someone at an airport?
I was at an airport recently.
I was in Dallas.
And I saw two people stick their hands under their armpits and smell.
Listen, I saw personally mules transporting boats and I read something, I think, that said something about fraud. So I'm just going to draw my own conclusions here and assume democracy is in danger.
Yeah. Me with my terrible eyesight, I saw this. So that's how I know it's true.
This is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a legit study, I promise. From the Karolinska Institute in Sweden. They have been studying these chemo signals, aka what we call body odor or BO, and just seeing how they kind of change our body's like response to emotions and how we can communicate with others. And the study found that if you like feel anxiety and then you're exposed to someone else's BO, it will reduce your symptoms of social anxiety by nearly 40%. So there's something.
I believe that. I believe
really?
That. Can I tell you why I believe that?
Yes, totally.
It's because as soon as you smell that person, it doesn't matter who's around you, you're going to tell them. Anxiety is off because you're like, this guy smells like trash. You start telling people, the anxiety's off. You start moving two drinks in. You know, now you're dancing, you're meeting people, your flip phones with your partner, like Jesse said earlier. And you know, it's a whole thing. It takes anxiety off when you can make fun of someone also. It just, unfortunately, it does.
So I this is something that she and I talked about. I wanted to clarify. It is somebody else's BO. It is not your armpit sweat.
No. Yeah. You smell that person, you're like, that guy smells like the inside of a prosthetic leg.
Right.
You just want to tell somebody. And then guess what? I just made a new friend. Now we have matching flip phones, razors. They're both purple. They only come on color.
I wonder if it's this dynamic. You know how when you have like a headache if you stub your toe, all of a sudden you don't have a headache anymore because your pain is focused somewhere else in your body. I'm wondering if you have social anxiety and then you get some rank BO, somebody else's BO, all of a sudden your focus is on that nasty BO and that just diverts your attention.
So it's foul odor. Like it could just be rotten eggs.
We could, study on gas right now. They're doing a study on gas right now and stuff. And
my dog just pooped right there and all of a sudden I don't have social anxiety anymore, you know? Yeah.
Now I'm totally calm.
I love that.
Yeah. Anyway, interesting. So stick your hands in other people's armpits if you're having social anxiety is what this study literally says is like, go smell nasty armpits from other people. All right.
Very cool.
Cool. All right, Marty, what do you got?
Yeah, I have one. The Weeknd is officially, which I don't subscribe to this theory. I don't because I do think it's Taylor Swift, but The Weeknd is the world's most popular artist. this article. They're on Guinness World Records because of streaming passing 100 million streaming. I dig that. I get that. I don't think he's the most popular artist in the world. I would probably say Taylor Swift. I'd probably say it's a Bad Bunny, but they're saying The Weeknd won the Guinness World Record of the most popular artist.
Yeah, yeah, by quantifiable data, by streams and stuff. Like,
yeah, by streams. But here's the thing. I mean, like, The Weeknd's incredible, no doubt. But come on now. Like, if I tell my mom, you know, The Weeknd, she'll be like, this weekend, you know, like, but if I tell my mom Taylor Swift, a mom who's 60, who's watching Pat Robinson currently, 700 Club is on the TV as I walk outside over here, she's going to be like, I love Taylor Swift.
Good.
So I do find, but I the data says that he's the most streamable. And I think that in my personal opinion, it's the full power of an amazing label that is doing their job, pushing the music out. I get it. But is he the most popular? I would say we can ask four or five people who their favorite artists.
That's interesting.
You know, they're probably going to say.
Listen, I don't trust facts and numbers. Yeah. I trust. And,
in Dallas, two people were listening to Taylor Swift in Dallas on their flip phones. I don't know how much I believe.
So you tell me who's most popular in the world.
People like Taylor Swift that you would not normally. Like people like Taylor Swift, like my Uber driver the other day when I went, actually was in Dallas last weekend. And when I was in Dallas, my Uber driver, who was probably like a 34-year-old black guy, he was super cool. He was listening to Taylor Swift.
Good.
Haters gonna hate. We're listening to that. And he's like, dude, I just like her. He's great. Anti-hero is telling me the whole thing. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I get your point though, because
had to verify it. It's the Guinness World Records. They have verification. It's not like they're just guessing.
But I get why he thinks it would be someone like Taylor, because I think there is a difference though between like having a very vocal fan base and being the most popular. Because like the thing with The Weeknd is like his music is like fun and cool, but it's also pretty chill. So like I can see his fans not being like die hard. Like, again, I say this as a Swiftie, where we can be a bit much at times on the internet and like are just very vocal about our love and like defending her, all this stuff. The Weeknd doesn't really do much of that. So like, there's just not a lot of people that are vocal about it. But like, I see it in someone like, I think the article mentioned a couple of different people kind of in like the top five or top 10, something like that. And it mentioned Ed Sheeran. I don't know anybody who is like a vocal Ed Sheeran fan. And yet he is like one of the most popular artists in the world. And and it's just like, I don't know. I don't get how someone like The Weeknd is the most popular, but I mean, I can name so many of his songs and like, I can recognize so many of them. So it's not, I don't know. It is
talking like bigger than Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
So I'm saying like,
I think it's funny that this is verified, quantified.
Here's the thing about the
double check, triple check. And you guys are like, I don't believe it.
Yeah. Here's why I don't believe it. Or I can. This is my main reason.
All right. Hit me.
A lot of that is also based on listens on Spotify. So when I see my Spotify data, I could pull it up right now. It'll be like, all right, this is where your streams are coming from. Most artists on that level, their streams are coming from editorial playlists. He's on every playlist there is, right? He's on that. So they also add that as a piece of it instead of it being like, hey, users, I've saved this. It's like, hey, he's also on every major playlist there is. If you go on Spotify, the top 10 that have a reach of over 3 billion, you know, and then here's another thought, right? Justin Bieber also has more billion stream songs. So that's another piece that they're not factoring in. Also, I do believe that like this is one of those like articles that they make up to kind of give The Weeknd like a PR, like another talking point. But like Justin Bieber has like 8 songs. There's another artist that no one probably knows here, Danny Ocean. He's a big, huge Latin artist. And that guy has like the most billion stream songs, but he's not even on the playlist right now. So a lot of times I do feel like, are we talking, I don't know. Real life, like Jesse would pull up, like going to the airport, seeing people live. It's a little bit different than like editorial programmed AI playlist. I don't know. That's just my life. I do think that The Weeknd's my favorite, one of my favorite artists. I've loved him since House of Balloons. I think he's great. But is he Beyonce? Like, they mention her in Marvel. You know, like, they mention her, like, even Doctor Strange is a Beyonce fan. Like, that's a type of, like, pop culture level. The only time I see The Weeknd is when I see Daniel Craig from 007, when he opens up, he goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd." That's the only time I see him on the
SNL clip.
I don't know. Beyonce, yeah. I would say Beyonce. I would probably say Taylor Swift. Those, like, two would be very close. But, you know, data shows me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I'm okay with being wrong. Sometimes we're wrong.
See, here we go. At the beginning of Slices, Jesse based fact on seeing two people at an airport. At the end of Slices, yeah, we have facts right. That we're going to say aren't facts because we don't think that is true. You get the whole spectrum.
Everyone has their own. I dig it. So everybody has their own thing.
There you go. I like it. All right. That'll do it for Slices. Stay tuned. Up next, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. TD Jakes joins us. Bust out the roof. Bust out the roof. Gotta go meet God. It's a rendez. Bust out the roof. Bust out the roof. Gotta go meet God. It's a rendez. Coming out that 33024. Oh, for show. Slamming on Cadillac Doge. Right when they thinking it's over. I put my feet on the sofa. Recipe all the aroma. Send them hundreds of soldiers. I bring the feels, the emotions. You can't even talk, need emoji. You can't even talk, gotta show me. The internet thinking they know me. That's why I don't post on the low key. That's why I put trap on the lo-fi. So when they hear this, I hear, oh my. Wait till we get up in SoFi. And I ain't have to wait in no traffic. And I ain't have to wear no lemon. You're listening to none other than Social Club Misfits featuring Tori Deshaun. The song is Rendezvous. It's off their new project. Everybody loves a comeback story. You go get that right now. Support these men, one of her favorite hip-hop groups.
She was a chronic people pleaser with an unfulfilling career in Hollywood until she surprised everyone by joining a convent. Equal parts tell-all and rallying cry, Sister Monica Claire's memoir, A Change of Habit, reveals how much we stand to gain when we fully embrace our authentic selves. Sister Helen Prejean says it's, quote, for anyone who needs a little love, a little faith, right now. A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun by Sister Monica Claire is available now wherever books are sold.
Well, our guest today is, I mean, a walking legend, a hero of the faith, a hero of mine personally, Bishop T.D. Jakes. Not only is he senior pastor of Potter's House in Dallas, he is one of the best preachers, Bible teachers, encouragers in the country. I mean, but beyond that, he is a leader, an entrepreneur, I mean, and frankly, a media mogul. We sat down with him to talk about some of his upcoming new projects, including a movie premiering this weekend, an upcoming International Leaders Summit, a brand new book dropping next month, and it's got a lot coming out. It's great stuff. Here's our conversation with the living legend, Bishop T.D. Jakes.
I think a really fun place to start would be, you have a film premiering soon called Pride. Without spoiling too much, what can you tell us about the film and what it's about?
Oh my gosh. First of all, it is the next deposit on the Seven Deadly Sins anthology that we've been doing with Lifetime. This particular contribution is on Pride. It is a cautionary tale that was inspired from a real life situation. That is very powerful. Our cast is unique. I mean, Stephanie Mills has done a lot of Broadway, a lot of R&B singing, is in an acting role on a screen. And she does an amazing job of doing so. Nephew Tommy, who I've always seen as a comedian or seen in the radio space, I did not know that he's a trained actor. And he did an amazing job. And on down the line, the cast was just utterly exceptional. Kia King, all the way down the line to Erica Campbell. They just do a great job of being realistic and really challenging people to avoid prideful decisions that disrupt families and create dysfunctions. And sometimes we're not even conscious that we are being prideful.
Right. Yeah. I think it's so interesting that this is Lifetime that is doing it, because that's, you know, when I think of like Christian channels, that's not necessarily like the first one I think of. But like you said, I think this has created a lot of really interesting conversations. I know you said, I think this is the fourth one that is part of Deadly Sins. So how have the other films, like, you know, what are some of the conversations that have come out of those?
Well, first of all, the other films did very well, or they wouldn't green light the film that we have now. So we've got, you know, you're only as good as your last numbers. So our numbers have been exceptional. The conversations have been incredible. On my social media site, there are lots of people talking about, I can't wait to see it. I've been waiting on the next one. So we have a loyal built-in audience that is connected to us, as do the other celebrities that are in the film. And so to coalesce all of those followers and point them toward it, as well as Lifetime's loyal base, we have some crossover there. And you mentioned earlier, faith-based films being generally segregated, you wouldn't think of Lifetime. What I am really interested in doing is producing value-based content that goes mainstream. I don't want to preach to the choir. I don't want to be in a box. I don't want to be in a cage. I just wrote a book, Disruptive Thinking. I'm a disruptive thinker. And that part of that disruption brings alliances like Lifetime, like Amazon. If you study our brand, we're connecting with Amazon. We're connecting with bank institutions. We're doing a lot of unique things. We're building real estate and doing development in oppressed communities, because I don't want to be stereotypical and locked in a brand where the amens come easy. I want to be out there affecting the culture, being the salt of the earth, as we were so supposed to be. I believe that when Jesus said go into all the world, he didn't mean go into all the church. He meant to go into all the world. And Lifetime has graciously provided us a platform. And by the way, not restricted us from being open when it comes to conversations about faith. And those conversations are held in the midst of conflict and family crisis, of which no one is exempt from having. So it's really real. It's really gritty. And yet it's really wholesome in terms of pointing us toward better decisions and making better choices where it matters the most. And that's with our own family.
I do want to go back to, you had mentioned earlier that you have a book coming out called Disruptive Thinking. And I know we have a few minutes, so I'd love to talk about that. Where did the inspiration for this book come from?
Introspection. People telling me I was weird. People telling me that I was weird, and me connecting with other people who were weird, and they called us weird because we did not stay within the lines. We don't color in the lines. We don't live inside the box. We are true to our core and our giftings and ourselves. And I begin to realize that the libraries are only filled with people who are disruptive thinkers. Nobody writes books about people who go along to get along. If you run with the herd, you will soon be unheard of. You have to be willing to take the darts and arrows that come from being out front. How to recognize disruptive thinkers in your children, and not to be so insistent that they meet certain criteria that we stunt their growth as leaders, as thinkers, as visionaries, as entrepreneurs, are all disruptive thinkers. Activists are disruptive thinkers. Some of our greatest presidents have been disruptive thinkers. Some of our greatest characters in the Bible, there was nobody any more disruptive than Jesus. I mean, Jesus was an extremely disruptive thinker. And so I mix both corporate knowledge, personal stories, and biblical stories in the book Disruptive Thinking to bring us to the expected, the unexpected, the permission, the license to not fit in, that it's okay. That you don't fit in, that your path is different, that your goals are different, and how to prepare your family and your world, and how to present yourself in a world that with disruptive thoughts and ideologies. And then the other thing that I would like to say about it is this is a disruptive time we're living in. If you watch any news channel, it's disruption all over the world. It's not just in America. We're challenging the way we educate. We're disrupting the way we do business. We're disrupting the way we do politics. We're disrupting the way we do film. We're living in an age that I think is going to go down in history as the disruptive age. And where that takes us depends on who leads the way. And so I wrote Disruptive Thinkers so that we would not apathetically sit back and be victims of disruption, but create the kinds of positive disruptive thinking that moves us forward, whether the steam engine from the stagecoach to Ford creating the car to the Wright brothers creating the plane. Everybody who ever did anything worth talking about to the creators of technology, they've all been disruptive. They've all been disruptive thinkers. And I think my book kind of gives you permission and gives you the pros and cons and the warnings of getting outside of the herd, of getting outside of the pack and being a disruptive thinker, and not only a thinker, but a doer.
There is something about the word disrupt that we always go with like a negative kind of connotation with it. But like you're saying, there are disruptive can actually be really positive. Would you say that you've always been a disruptive thinker, or is that something you've maybe grown into?
I think I always was, but I didn't know what to call it. And I want to make a clear distinction between disruptive thinking and destructive thinking. You can disrupt without being destructive. If I'm going to remodel this room, I'm going to have to disrupt it to remodel it. You cannot construct until you're willing to disrupt your past in order to construct your future. And giving people permission, because sometimes we get things all nice and neat and tidy, but they're not the way we want them to be. And we know that in order to change it, we have to disrupt in order to construct. But we don't have to destruct in order to disrupt. And I think understanding the delineation between destructive thinking and disruptive thinking is paramount to having constructive living. I don't know when your story comes out, but if it comes out prior to the first week of May, I would like to invite all of your readers to stream our International Leadership Summit. It is very disruptive thinking. It is valiant. We have both corporate leaders and faith leaders, as well as mental health leaders in the same space. We're doing training for entrepreneurs and access to capital for businesses and startups and development. I think your readers in particular would find it very fascinating, because you have a disproportionate amount of entrepreneurs and people who are forging their own path forward.
Yeah, that sounds like something that I think they would absolutely love to just like sit and gain wisdom from. Can you remind me the dates of that again? I can't remember.
Yes, it starts May the 3rd and it will go through May the 6th. And they can log on to This Is ILS, International Leadership Summit. thisisils.org. And they can get all the information and all the litany of speakers. It is the most diverse group of people we have ever brought together. The former chief marketing officer for Netflix is going to be teaching on the session there. We've got the daughter of the former president of Ghana is going to be sitting there with Ron Kirk, who was ambassador, appointed ambassador up under the Obama administration. We've got a very diverse group of people. Charlie Scharf, the CEO of Wells Fargo, in the same room and at the same time with E. Dewey Smith, who's a pastor, and Tudor Bismarck, who's a pastor from Zimbabwe. We've got 42 different countries represented in a room of 11,000 people. And they can join us online and have a similar experience in their pajamas. So I want to invite them to come out and be a part of that and glean the information that may help them to be more successful as entrepreneurs, as believers, and even if they're working on a regular job.
That was TD Jakes. I'd say, you know, normally this is where I go, like, check out their new project, check out their new whatever. Too much. Too much. How about this? Follow Bishop on Instagram. It's a great follow. A lot of good clips. It'll encourage your feed. It's a great way to cleanse the timeline. Follow Bishop on Instagram. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's Ask Jesse Anything. You're listening to Pearly Drops. The song is Feed the Fire.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, it's time for... In honor of our friend's 40th birthday, we wanted you, dear relevant listeners, to be able to ask him any unhinged question that came to your mind. He says whatever unhinged thought comes to his mind, so we figured this was a great opportunity for you to be able to do the same. So we hit you guys up to ask Jesse anything. You know, just let's do a Jesse-focused segment. You guys had a lot of burning questions for our favorite podcast cast member. You hit us up on Twitter. Here's our favorite questions. I'll just lob them out to you. You guys can chime in too if you'd like. Jesse, here we go. What's your go-to cereal flavor or brand?
Oh, go-to cereal. Dude, here's the thing. I mix them all in a bowl. Whatever cereals are in the pantry, I mix them all up, put honey in there. That's mind-blowing.
That is the most chaotic breakfast I can imagine.
Honey in there.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You put like honey on Fruit Loops?
Dude. And cornflakes and everything. It's in all in one big bowl.
Wow.
Pour milk on there.
That's awesome.
There's no, I have no biases as long as it's a mixed bag of cereal.
It's, you should maybe get like one or two
mind.
Biases.
It's going to blow people's mind. Yeah.
All right. What's your favorite family trip you went on as a kid?
Always Busch Gardens, Williamsburg, man. It was like the old country. It was like Europe. They played fancy. That was the closest my family went to going to Europe. And we would go like once a summer. And it might as well have been Europe. I loved it. It's Busch Gardens, hands down.
What pushes your buttons? I think they're asking this because you seem to never get like flustered. Oh, and this is like 15 years of podcasting.
Yeah. I don't know that anything... I would say this. Technical issues with podcasting software will... Definitely. And anyone who's done this for long enough, that will drive them slowly insane.
That is true. That is true. Which part of your life is the most mysterious?
I had a business where I was stealing watches from a middle school and was reselling them on the black market. But I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that.
It's part of my testimony. Don't shame me.
Does Jesse know the story of someone bringing a Ronald McDonald statue to the ORU prayer gardens? It's a hilarious rumor legend that I've heard, but I'm not sure if it's valid.
I can confirm it's valid, and I do know who and how and where the Ronald McDonald came from. It was there at the front of the Walmart across the street from the ORU campus. There was a Ronald McDonald on a bench that you could take your picture with.
Yep.
In the prayer gardens at ORU, there was a picture of Jesus sitting next to two children.
Picture? You mean a statue?
A statue, a bronze statue. And one day Ronald McDonald was sitting beside Jesus with his arm around him in the prayer gardens.
That is
incredible. I refuse.
A perfect joke.
Because I'm pretty sure it's grand larceny because of how expensive that we found out that Ronald McDonald statue was. So that's all the details I'm willing to tell. I don't know what the statute of limitations on something like that is.
What's your go-to slum it meal or restaurant? The food or restaurant, you know, it's going to be horrible, but at the same time, you just want to eat it just for the sake of eating.
Wawa all the time, man. Well, that's, I have no shame in Wawa. I mean, Taco Bell, Subway, everything I eat is like that. They just describe my entire diet. So.
That's actually how you pick what you're going to eat.
Do you remember Taco Cantina in Tulsa?
Taco Cabana.
Where they had like... Taco Cabana, where they had, no. The what was the one where they literally store, they like would stir the
Casa
the
Bonita.
Fat
Casa
of,
Bonita.
Casa Bonita, where they would store, they would like.
It's very quick with that one.
Stir the vat of beans with a boat oar. Remember how like, they had like waterfalls and like cliff divers in the restaurant and they had like conveyor belts. And
with food. It was all you can eat. Plates just came out on a conveyor belt. You didn't even order. You just walked over the conveyor belt, grab whatever you needed. And if you needed a drink refill, you raise a little pirate flag on the table and the waitress covered. It was great. You could eat in a fake jail cell.
Is that still around?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Casa Bonita is still kicking.
Oh, man. Yeah, that place was... That was an experience.
Yeah.
The volume of food. Literally, they were like, because you can't leave like refried beans and black beans back there very long. You got to keep that thing moving. So they would have boat oars back there. They would have
boat oars. They would in a vat. Yeah. And that was how that was his whole job, was stirring refried beans at Casa Bonita. What a job. American dream, baby.
We need a funny story about one of your family members.
Oh, Lord. funny.
But don't break the statute of limitations, whatever it
is. Exactly. One time, one of my cousins was run through one of those patches in life where, you know, he didn't have access to a car, and I don't think he had the ability to drive one at the time, and was he was given a bike from another family.
Wait, is this because
member.
He was younger than 16 or something happened?
I think something happened. I can't remember the details. I just know he was
having a good time.
He was bike bound, if you know what I mean. And and another family member gifted him like a really nice bicycle, like a name brand, like a Trek bike, so that he could get back and forth to like a job interview. And my cousin stopped at a thrift store to buy this. Again, he was at that stage in life, you know, and he wanted to buy like a sport coat or something, but he didn't have the money. So he went to the thrift store. He walks in there. He's walking around. He's in there trying them on. A few minutes later, they hear over the intercom, "We just want to thank the person that donated that brand new Trek bicycle. It has already sold. Thank you, thank you, thank you, if you are in the store." And after that, he no longer had access to the bike either.
No.
That's amazing. He's doing way better now.
Last question. What is the Jesse Carey secret to happiness?
I would say, don't take things too seriously. if that's awesome. My one piece of advice is lighten up a little about everything.
I thought it would be eat Taco Bell as often as you think of it.
Yeah. And eat Taco Bell.
Oh, man. Happy birthday. You mean a lot to us. And we're celebrating with you on this milestone. And we're glad you're part of this show. And the last 15 years have been a blast. And I know you mean a lot to these listeners, our listeners. And I know they feel like they know you. I mean, you've left a lot of your life here on this podcast. And happy birthday, man.
Yeah,
happy
thanks.
40 years.
Yeah, thanks. Love you guys.
Can't believe you're as old as you are.
I know.
All
I
the
know.
Gray
Father
hairs.
Time. Undefeated.
You don't look a day over 39. So. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Bishop T.D. Jakes for joining us. Again, like I said earlier, there's so many things to plug. His movie this weekend, his book next month, his Leaders Summit coming up. But, I mean, the best way to stay connected, follow Bishop on Instagram, on all the socials. It's a great way, honestly. It is a great timeline cleanse. It is encouraging clips. I literally pause and watch them, and it is great content. And, If you haven't really like followed his ministry or his teachings, do yourself a favor. It's not only encouraging, it's not only sound bites, but there's substance there and really good teachings, and it'll challenge your faith and encourage your faith. And I would suggest you do it. Get out. And if you haven't followed his ministry, get out of your comfort zone. Why not? Why not expand, you know, what voices you're listening to? Why not? Why not? What harm could come of it? Bishop has a lot of great teachings. I'm a big fan. All right. Also, make sure to check out the spring issue of Relevant. It's out now. We have amazing conversations with, oh, I don't know, maybe you've heard of him. Michael B. Jordan is on the cover. He not only stars in, but directed the new Creed 3 and took it a very personal direction. We talked to him about that. We have great conversation with Beth Moore. Very vulnerable conversation. Talked to Fits in the Tantrums. So many more. It is available for free if you just click on the magazine tab right there at relevantmagazine.com. If you want to see the beautifully designed enhanced edition, you can get that with your Relevant Plus membership. You not only get the digital magazine, but you get ad-free reading at relevantmagazine.com. You get this podcast ad-free. You get an exclusive subscriber podcast and more. Plans start at as low as $250 a month, and you can find out all the info and sign up by clicking the Relevant Plus tab right there at relevantmagazine.com. Also, if you like the show, rate it and review it wherever you listen. Helps the algorithm, helps people find it. And if you like the music that we play in the breaks, you should check out our Spotify playlist. There's one called Heard on the Relevant Podcast. You can just search for that. And it's literally every song that we play every week. We update it after every show. It's a good little follow if you like the music. If you don't like the music, keep it to yourself. Okay, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
Happy birthday, man.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm Marty. Happy birthday.
All right, Marty. Thanks for joining us, man. It was a blast, as always.
Thank you guys for having me. You guys are great.
And again, everybody, go check out their album. Everybody loves a comeback story. It is great. I've really loved all their albums, but like, it's a really good one. So go check it out. You can hear it on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your music. It's everywhere. Okay. Support good music. Support good artists. And they are definitely one of them.
For listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
I don't need some fact checker telling me my truth.
Relevant Podcast Network. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.